Hey, everybody, it's John. Welcome or welcome back to the One Church Podcast. Hey, thank you for taking a second to subscribe to our channel. And when you rate and review this podcast, it really means a lot to me as it helps us engage with even more people. But most importantly, I hope that the word today will engage, equip, empower, and encourage you to reach the world. Enjoy.
Man, y'all are, what an incredible morning, amen? Man, y'all give it up for the band one time. Gosh, that's awesome. You guys truly are blessed to have just the team you have in place and Pastor John. Y'all thankful for Pastor John? Man, me too. Me and John have gotten to know each other over the past couple of months. And like I said, we met in the gym and we just kind of started hanging out. And I'm so honored to get to be here with you. I'm excited. Y'all excited? Y'all expect it? Here's why I ask that, because a lot of times your expectation will determine your experience, right? And so if you come into somewhere like this and you're expectant, things can change. So if you come in today and you're just looking to take some good notes, laugh at a speaker, you may leave with that. But if you'll come actually seeking to get a word from God, I believe he'll give it to you. Amen. And so I've been looking through Jeremiah, and some of you familiar with Jeremiah. We got stuff printed all from Jeremiah chapter 29. So I've been reading Jeremiah 29:12, not 11. Some of you guys know verse 11, right? It's on your coffee mugs. It's on a bumper sticker. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's right. But do you know what verse 12 says? Here's what it says. Look at this. It says, and then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And so I just wanted to speak this into you this morning at the very beginning, because without prayer, without prioritizing the presence of God, there is no power. There's no power in what I'm about to tell you outside of the Spirit. And so here's what I just want to teach this really quick about prayer. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray like this: our Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know the Lord's Prayer, right? Did you notice how and who Jesus started with? He started with God. He said, our Father, hallowed be thy name. Because prayer isn't simply about you and I making our requests known to God, though it is. But it's more about asking God to get our requests in line with his. There's more to prayer a lot of times than what you and I, than what we pray. And so if you notice what Jesus calls him, he calls him what? Father. There's a lot of names for God throughout the scriptures, but he calls him Father. Why Father instead of King? Here's just a thought. By calling him Father, that makes you and I child. Calling him King, that makes you and I servant. Here's what I want you to get about prayer. Prayer is much more about intimacy with your dad than it is duty for your king. Prayer is much more about personal connection, intimacy with your dad than it is duty for your king. Jesus, God, he cares so much more about your relationship with him over your productivity for him. That's going to set somebody free today, because listen, sometimes we think that God is all about our production, but God wants a relationship with you, and he cares so much about being present with you over you performing for him. And so I just want to invite you now, as we seek our Heavenly Father and ask him to do the work only he can do. And I want to just invite you to maybe open your hand. And really what I started kind of doing this, because this is a representation that I am letting go of that which I'm carrying. And let's be honest, we're all carrying something in here this morning, right? And so I want to just go to our Father in prayer and say, God, I surrender this to you. I give this up to you. And I'm trusting that whatever it is you're wanting to deposit into my life today, I'm also receiving it. So it's a letting go and it's a receiving. Okay, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much that we have the right to be adopted into your family and call you dad. So Father, your promise is that if we will seek you with our whole heart, that we will find you. So God, we know that you are present here now, And we ask that you would help us get here too. God, would you remove any distractions that may be in this place today so that you can do the work that only you can do? God, you say your word is like a double-edged sword that pierces the heart. And so, God, would you do surgery in our heart today? That salvation would come to this house today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Well, hey, again, I'm so glad to be here. My wife and my baby boy that was in that picture couldn't be here. My wife's Jessica. We've been married for 6 years last week. Yeah, you can give it up for that. It's been the best 6 years of my life. Our son is going on 10 months. And here's the deal. Me and my wife, obviously, we have a little bit of a past before those 6 years. It would have been nice. Like, when I saw her for the first time, I knew she's the one. But we got a past. Y'all got a past? Everybody's got a past. And so I remember the first time we met, we were in high school. Now, before you get excited, we're not high school sweethearts. Okay, she friend zoned me. I wanted to be, but it didn't work. So I lived my high school career in the friend zone. Anybody in the friend zone right now? Don't raise your hand because it's awkward. We've all been there, maybe some of you. But I lived in the friend zone, and I remember this super defining moment in our friendship. Right, like we were BFFs, whatever. And I was a sophomore, and she was a junior. And I remember this time because it was one of those pivotal moments in my life, in my past. You know what I'm talking about. We have those. And I invited her over, and like, y'all, I was getting ready, trying to get all smooth looking in the mirror. I'm like, this is the night. I'm going to tell her how I feel. I've been watching the movies, Notebook. It's like, today is the day. I'm going to share my heart. I'm going to be vulnerable with her. And so she comes over. She gets out of her car, and she comes in my yard, and I give her a big old hug, and I look down at her, and she starts crying. And she's like, my boyfriend just cheated on me. I'm like, oh, no, what? You know, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And she looked up at me and she said this. She said, I just wish I could find a guy who would love me as much as I would love them. You know what I did, right? Looked down deep into her eyes. And I said, well, I would. And then she got in her car and she left. She rolled out. She's like, this dude is super awkward. It played a little bit differently in my mind. You know what I'm talking? Like, you say something, and as soon as you say it, it's like, oh, no, let me get that back. Right? Because now, listen, it wasn't like it was the last time I would see her. Right? Like, we went to school together. So, like, I had to go there the next day and see this girl who now knows how I really feel and is super awkward all the time. It's like, hey, how are you? And it ruined our relationship. Okay, note to some guys, like, I know you might be trying to break out of the friend zone. The only way to get out is if they let you out. And so eventually, I got out of the friend zone. We've been married for 6 years. And here's the thing. We all got a past, don't we? And if we're honest, there's parts of our past that ain't that funny. There's things that you and I have done that we're not proud of. There's things that I've done that I've said. The moment I said them, I just wish I could have taken it back. You know what I'm talking about? Where someone I really loved and cared for, I said something really hurtful to, and I broke that relationship. Like, if I were to tell you the things that I've done or thought of doing or thought of, you'd be like, man, why is this guy on stage? But you've been there too, right? Like, we've all have a past where we wish that, man, we wish we could change some things, whether it was something you did or it was something that was done to you. And so maybe in your life, you come in and you're carrying something, and maybe it's because in your relationship, maybe you said something that broke a relationship and it's never been the same since. Or maybe you did something and hurt someone that you care deeply about, and now you know, and they know every time you see each other, like something's just off. You ever had that relationship? Or maybe it was something you did. Maybe it was done to you. Maybe you come in, and when you think about your past and you look kind of in the rearview mirror, you start thinking about someone who you really loved, that you were supposed to trust. They broke that trust with you. And now it's still affecting your present reality. And that's the thing about our past, right? Our past isn't our past if it's still impacting our present. You may want to write that down. Our past isn't our past if it's still impacting our present. And so here's what I want to get into you today. And then we're going to open up the scriptures. That if you won't let your past die, it won't let you live. That if you won't let your past die, it won't let you live. And so I want to talk to those of you in the room who have a hard time getting past their past. Because when preachers say that in church, it's like, oh yeah, my past. But listen, past could mean like yesterday past. It could mean this morning past. It could mean a week ago. It could mean I know what you did last summer, right? Like it, past is past, and we all have a hard time getting over our past. And so if you're taking notes, which I would recommend, 98% of people who take notes get to heaven. And sorry, that joke all day. It's not true, okay? Relax. But if you're taking notes, here's what I titled this message. Here's what I titled this message. You ready for it? Is it on the screen yet? It's not? All right. Get your head out of your past. Don't be switching words on me. Get your head out of your past. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, get your head out of your past. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to walk you through a disciple, probably my favorite disciple in Scripture, and his name is Peter. Because Peter has a past. If you know anything about Peter, Peter's the guy who Jesus looks at and he says, your name is Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter's the guy who stands up during this time frame after Jesus resurrects from the grave and gives the first sermon, gives the first gospel message to the church, and thousands get saved. That Peter. But Peter could never live out his purpose until he let go of his past. And so Peter has a past. And so here's what I want to do. I'm just going to kind of walk you through this story, because there's a moment in his life, a big mistake, that he wishes he could have taken back. And then I'm going to show you what Jesus does with it. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'm going to have a lot of scripture. If you want to write the references down, you can. But we're just going to kind of walk through the life of Peter, starting in Matthew chapter 4. Here's what it says. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Jesus, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to him, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this isn't actually the first time that Jesus and Peter have an interaction. A lot of people think that when they read this, they think it's the first time Jesus ever met Peter, and Peter just dropped his nets and followed him. There was actually another time they met first, and it's in John chapter 1. We get an insight here. John chapter 1, starting in verse 36, it says this. It says, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. And so they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Now watch this. Jesus looked at him. Say, looked at him. Say, looked at him. And said, you are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Now, I had you repeat looked at him, because this is important. Because what happens here in the Greek when it says looked at him, it was he looked at him with an intent. Okay? He looked deeply into his eyes. And so the first time Jesus ever sees Peter, who's Simon, he looks at him and says, your name is now Peter. Which lets you and I know that who we are isn't defined by what we do. That Jesus sees this man, changes his name to Peter, which means rock. He named him Rocky. Come on. So he nicknames him Rocky. You're my boy. You're Rocky. And he changes his name. And it says he looked intently at him. Now, this only happens two times where it says that Jesus looks intently at him. And I want you to remember that. And so I want to fast forward now to Peter's big mistake. His big mistake. And it's in Luke chapter 22, verse starting in 54. Here's what it says. It says, then they seized him, Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. Take a note. Right before his biggest mistake, he was following Jesus at a distance. And that's what happens. We follow Jesus at a distance. It says, and when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Now, this fire, say fire. it's important because it's one of the only two times as well where we have this picture of a charcoal fire. That's a type of fire. And so here's Peter and Jesus and other people around this charcoal fire. And here's what happens. It says, then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said this. This man, Peter, was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you were also one of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Second time. Looked intently at Peter. See, the first time he looked at Peter was when he named him Rocky. And now the second time he looks at Peter is in his biggest mistake. And then it says, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. It was that moment in Peter's life where he wanted to take it back. The thing he thought he would never do, he did. And I think you and I can relate, right? We've made mistakes and made decisions, said things, done things that we've said. We would never do that. And you see Peter's response immediately. Jesus looks at him again, eye to eye, and it says he wept bitterly. And now I want to fast forward into the story. So after this happens, Jesus, he dies on the cross for your sin, for my sin, defeats the grave. 3 days later, he resurrects, right? And now he's appearing to his disciples. And I want to show you this encounter because it's powerful, because it's something I think Peter needs to see and all of us need to see. It's when Jesus appears to his disciples for the third time after he resurrects from the grave. It's in John 21. Here we go. I know this is a lot of scripture, so just keep coming with me. Y'all, if you're with me, say yeah. There we go. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. He went back to the thing he used to do. Went back to fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. I love this. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter. I love it because John's writing this, and he's referring to himself. He nicknamed himself the disciple Jesus loves. Like, it's one thing to get nicknamed, like, Jesus and Peter meet, you're Rocky, you're my boy. But John, he's like, I'm the one Jesus loves. Can you imagine, like, walking into a room, hey, what's your name? I'm the one Jesus loves. Who are you? Right? Like, you got to have, like, a sense of identity and purpose in knowing who you are and who Jesus says you are. And so the one Jesus loves says to Rocky, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, awkward, naked in the boat, and then threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with the fish laid out on it and bread. There it is. The second charcoal fire, the only other one. Remember what happened in the first one? Peter denied him. Three times. And so here's this beautiful moment where Jesus shows back up on the scene. And the disciples are out in the boat, and he decides he's going to make a charcoal fire. For who? For the disciples? Yeah. But for Peter. Because in this moment, Peter would have known, the last time I was at the fire, and me and you were sitting around, and you looked me in my eye, I made the biggest mistake of my life. And here Jesus shows up on the scene and he decides, I'm going to make a charcoal fire for Peter. And then it says this. It says, Jesus said to him, bring some of the fish that you just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them. And there were so many, the net was not even torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Here's why I share that with you. Because in this moment, when Peter would have been reminded of his greatest mistake, Jesus served him fish tacos. Forgiveness looks like fish tacos. Anybody like fish tacos? I do too. Some of you are like, oh, that's gross. Well, Jesus served him grace. How about that? That in this moment where Peter would have been reminded of everything he would have done when he denied him, Jesus is letting him know, Peter, I know you. I see you. Let's eat some breakfast together. And then he asked Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, I know you love me. He said, then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it says that Peter was cut to the heart. He was hurt. And I love this picture because then Jesus gives Peter a picture of that if he's going to follow him, that one day he too will die. And that's the call to follow Jesus. It's of one that we follow to death. And he shares this meal. You share a meal with somebody you love, right? You share a meal with somebody you want to be with. And Peter didn't deserve this. And I can just imagine in this moment at the charcoal fire, Peter realizing the grace for the first time. And maybe for you, you're here. And what I want you to see is that your past is no match for his grace. That your past is no match for his forgiveness. Like, no matter what you come in here carrying, no matter what you've done, no matter how many big mistakes you've made in your life, that when Jesus looks at you, he sees you and loves you as you are. That's the truth of the gospel. Yeah, you, come on. That's when Jesus looks at you. That's the reality. And so what you need to see is that you still have a purpose even though you've made a mistake. That when he looked at Peter, he said, you're Peter, you're Rocky. One day I'm going to build my church in and through you, Peter. You can run, you can hide, you can do whatever you want, but that doesn't change who I've called you to be. That you have a purpose. No matter your past. So I want you to catch this, because in order for Peter to step into his purpose, he has to get his head out of his past. I'm so glad y'all ain't changing letters on me. Praise the Lord. And so do we, right? In order for you and I to live out the purpose that God has placed on your life, you're going to have to learn to let go of your past, or it will not let you live. And so I just want to show you two things, and you can bring the mirror up here. Two promises that this story, that it teaches us about Jesus. And that it teaches us about the promise of God. And so I know some of you, what I'm going to share, this is nothing super profound, but it'll change your life if you get it. If you will take what I'm telling you today and you will actually apply it into your situation, into this season, and into your past, you will walk out of here free. And so I just want you to see this, that in this moment, what is Jesus communicating to Peter? What is he communicating to you and to me? That in Christ, I am completely forgiven. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am forgiven. That I am completely forgiven. Aren't you glad that we don't have a God that just partially forgives, but that fully gives? It's this, I am. It's I am completely forgiven. There was this moment in my past where I got a new car. Anybody ever got a new car before? Or it's new to you? Come on. That's right. That new car, you love it. I was going off to college. And, man, I had souped this thing up. I mean, put tinted windows on it, rims, the system, the neon. Back in the day, neons were cool. You know, it's like I got the TVs. It was dope. I love my car. A little 05 Honda Civic. It was fast, stick shift. You know, sounded like a little rice can on the back of it. That was the style. And I go to college. I move in. And I'm there, and I unpacked my stuff. I was helping a friend unpack theirs, and all of a sudden, I put my car in reverse. Granted, I've had this car for like a week. I'm cool, too. Put in reverse, I look back, nothing's behind me. Pull back, boom! Hit a pole. I didn't look on the other side. And there was this black pole, and I hit it, I sideswiped it, and I was stuck. So then I had to either drive forward or come back. And so I come back. You know that moment. Y'all ever dented your car before? And it's like in that moment, you're like, oh, Lord, somehow, please. No dent. No nothing. You know, it's like I get out and I walk to one side of it and I look on the left side of my driver's side door and, man, it was scraped all the way down my car. Man, I was just sick. I mean, it was like, oh. Right, like, and here's the thing, like, it was a night, and people come up, like, bro, I love your car. I'm like, yeah, stay on that side, right? Like, I don't want you to see over here because this side's got dents, and it's messed up, and it's ugly, and it's jacked up, and there's dents. And here's why I share that with you, because we got dents. You and I got dents, and when we think about our past, oftentimes what we remember is the dent. We remember that moment, what it felt like when you made the mistake, don't we? And it's like every time that happens again or every time there's something that triggers that memory, all of a sudden it just somehow has this way of taking you back. And it's like you hit your car again all over for the first time. And you feel the same pain that you once felt. And this truth of I am completely forgiven, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Here's the next truth. I am, in Christ, I am unconditionally loved. Turn to the person next to him, tell them you're loved. Other person, come on, your second choice, tell them you're loved. That I am unconditionally loved. And let's be honest. You and I, we ain't so good at unconditionally loving people, are we? Nope, don't judge me neither. You can't, right? Because I know you ain't got no traffic up here in Katy's, but if you come down to Nashville, anybody ever been in traffic before? The real you comes out in traffic. You can be listening to some worship music, Elevation, getting your praise on. Somebody cuts you off. All of a sudden, you're showing them sign languages like they don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the real you comes out under pressure, in love, in traffic. That's the law. Like, but you know who I don't have a problem loving? My son. Any parents in the room, raise your hand. Come on, get them up. You know what I mean. I don't have a problem loving my kid. Why? Because that's my boy. It's not because of his performance. You need to hear this today. I don't love my son because of his performance. Look, he came into this world with an attitude. He didn't come out being like, I love you, Daddy. It didn't work that way, right? I don't love him based upon his performance. I love him based on his position as my kid. That's my son. So no matter what he does, it doesn't change the fact that he's my son. That's his position. There was this one time I was getting ready. I just taken a shower. He's getting his little milk bottle, you know, and I love a baby in a diaper. So every time I got him, he's just in his diaper, nothing else. Bad idea with a baby, by the way. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in my shorts, and he's on my lap, and we're getting ready to go to this big meeting, and I had to bring him with me. And all of a sudden, I smelled something. I was like, oh, come on, not right now. And then I looked down. And not only did he poop in his diaper, it came up his back and onto me. And so now parents are like, I've been there, brother, I got you. And it's like I look down and I not only smell the poop, I see the poop, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. And it's like in that moment, you know what I didn't do? I didn't look at him, turn him around, and be like, who you think you are, bro? Like, what are you doing? Like, do you know who I am? Like, you gonna poop on me? Like, fix yourself up, man. Give yourself a bath. No, of course not. Why? Because I'm bigger than the mess he made. But as his dad, I take him, I wash him, I wash myself off, I wash him off, I get him ready for school. Why? Because I'm his dad. That's who I am. That's my job. How many of you know that the God you serve is bigger than the mess you've made? That you can't do anything too messy for him. That his grace is bigger than your mess. And some of you need to hear that because you think that God loves you based on your performance for him or not. But he loves you because of your position. He created you. He made you. And here's the reality. You know this. Those of you who are in Christ, you know and believe that you have been completely forgiven and you were unconditionally loved. I get it. It's basic. But here's the truth that we have to wrestle with. We don't always feel that way, do we? We don't always feel forgiven. We don't always feel loved. And a lot of times it's because of our dents. It's because of our past. But do you know why I think we don't feel loved a lot? Why we condemn ourselves? Because when we look in the mirror every day, we look in this mirror, and what we see is this. We see this word. There we go. Come on. There we go. That's what we see. Because you and I, we know the real us. When we look in the mirror, we see what other people don't see. See, a mirror is there to reflect the surface, but you and I have the ability to see beneath it because we know our past. And so when we look in the mirror, we don't see everything that we are. We see everything that we're not. Right? Like we look in this thing and we go like, I'm not. And the truth is that a lot of times you and I, you know what we do when we feel condemned, when we condemn ourselves? Condemning ourselves always leads to covering ourselves. Right? Like you remember in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what'd they do? They covered up. Because that's what shame does. And so the key to this right here is this is all about perspective. It's what you choose to focus on. And do you know the other reason why a lot of times we don't feel forgiven or feel loved? Because of comparison. Comparison will rob your joy because of social media. Right? You get on Facebook or Instagram and you start looking at everybody else, and you can come up and that morning you can be looking good. You're ready to go, and all of a sudden you open that phone and you start scrolling and you see your friend's perfect hair with their perfect dog and their perfect food and their perfect house and the perfect picture. What you don't see though is the 74 it took to get that picture. All the selfies they had to get with the right filter. You don't see all that. All you see is their highlight reel. Social media is a really bad mirror. And some of us are living our life and we're frustrated because we're confused about our calling. And the reason a lot of times we're confused about our calling is because we're looking to the person next to us to find it. We're trying to figure out who we are based upon what we see them do. Do we not? We look around and we're like, hey, I'm supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to look like that. I'm supposed to act like that. I'm supposed to dress that way. And all of a sudden you start feeling like I am not enough. I am not loved. I am not forgiven. I am not worthy. This is what comparison does. You come here. Let me just give you this visual. I didn't do this the first service. I just thought about it as I was. This is what comparison does. This is what some of us are trying to live like. Comparison is putting on somebody else's coat and then looking in the mirror and thinking, you look ridiculous. You're still cute. But you look ridiculous in my big coat. Why? But this is what we do. We get our identity, who we are, who we think we are, by putting on somebody else's coat. I said, you can give it back now. That's good. Y'all give it up for her real quick. And here's what I came to tell you. That your identity, who you are in Christ, is who God says you are. That He created you, that He made you, that He has a plan for you specifically. That He has a custom tailored coat, purpose, plan for your life. And that you weren't designed to look around you to find your purpose, to find your calling. That He came, that He died on the cross for you and for me, for us. That your identity isn't in your dents. That Jesus loves you anyway. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, right? That if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Say new. The old is gone, the new has come. That Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. That you and I, we still got dents, but that doesn't diminish our value. It doesn't change your position. You're not a car, you're a child of God. And so now, because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, because He came down, He died a sinner's death, paying the penalty you and I should have paid, dying on the cross and 3 days later resurrecting from the grave, now you and I can stand with confidence, knowing that if I'm in Christ, that I'm forgiven and that I'm unconditionally loved. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Here's what happens. That if you're in Christ, when you look at yourself, it's about perspective. And you start feeling like you're not loved, you're not forgiven. What you need to remember is that when Jesus died on the cross, He nailed your not with it. Looks down at you, He no longer sees your not. Come on. He sees the I am. Now He sees Jesus through you. Not that you earned it. Don't get it wrong. Not that you deserve it. But it's the reckless love of God. It's Him meeting you in a place like this. And this may be your charcoal fire moment. Where God brought you in here to remind you and to tell some of you that don't have a relationship with Him yet. That you may have messed up. You wish you could change your past. But here's the deal. I saw you in your sin, loved you in your sin, will save you in your sin, but love you way too much to keep you in your sin. And now He says, I want a relationship with you. You don't got to earn this. I made you. I created you. I determine who you are, not your dents. Not your past. Doesn't change my purpose for you. For your Peter. You're the rock. I want to build my church in and through you, Peter. That's what He tells him. He says, my plan for you is to go into the world and be a reflection. That when they see you, you don't feel like you've got to somehow make up for the not because Jesus already has. That they see the I am, that they see Jesus. And so here's what I hope for all of us this morning. For those of us who are in Christ, I hope that this morning would have been a time where you're at that charcoal fire. You follow Jesus and you know Jesus. Maybe you've made some big mistakes, and because of who you think you really are and comparing your life with everyone around you, you just haven't really felt loved and you haven't felt forgiven, and He brought you here to serve you His grace, to let you know that in me you are completely forgiven and you were unconditionally loved. But can I just tell you a secret? What happened at the fire? It was forgiveness. And in order for some of you, this is going to be hard, I'm telling you. In order for some of you to let your past die so that you can live, you're going to have to forgive. I get it. I'm not here to minimize anything you've been through in your past, anything you've done. This isn't just like, oh, forget about it, but you need to hear me clearly. That God has brought you here because maybe for you, there's somebody in your life and it's still kind of, you're carrying it everywhere. And you need to call that person up. You need to go take them out. You need to buy them some fish tacos and ask for their forgiveness. Because you've hurt them. And maybe the opposite is true. Maybe somebody in your world hurt you. And you think, they don't deserve my forgiveness. You're right, but neither did you. Neither did I. That's why it's called grace. Because it's something we don't deserve. And as hard as it is, in order for you to live out the purpose and plan God has for you, you not forgiving, you holding on, you growing bitter is only hurting you. You're the one carrying it. So as hard as it's going to be, I'm not saying you got to be BFFs with them. Jesus does call you to forgive because you've been forgiven. He calls you to love because you've been loved. We are to be the reflection of the I am. And here's what I know, others of you in this room, you've never had that encounter with Jesus. You've never sat down at the fire and him looking at you and you looking back at him, and you know, he knows everything you've done. And here's what I want to tell you, that you are fully known and fully loved. And he wants to offer you his grace. He wants to offer you his forgiveness. He wants to offer you his love. And so don't leave here today with your hand closed and say, oh, I'm going to go live out my future with your head stuck in your past. He wants to set you free from it. So I don't know what your next step is. For some of you, it's going to be to forgive. For some of you, it's going to ask for forgiveness. And for some of you, for the very first time, you're here because God wants you to surrender your life to him and to receive the grace and the mercy that he has for you. So right now, I'm just going to pray. And if you pray with me, I want to go to our Heavenly Father and ask him to do the work that only he can do. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your love, and we thank you that you see us at our worst, you see us in our mess, but your grace is so much bigger. God, that you see us as we are and love us as we are and choose to save us as we are, but love us way too much to keep us as we are. And so, Father, right now, I just pray for those in the room who say, you know, I need to forgive. And I need to call someone up and I need to ask them for forgiveness. If that's you, and do this lesson, will you just raise your hand? I would just love to pray for you. If you need to forgive somebody, or maybe you need to be forgiven for something with someone in your life, will you just kind of slip up your hand? Yeah, come on, me too. Father, I just pray for everyone that's lifting their hand right now. God, would you give them the courage, the boldness? Would you give them the love to forgive as you've forgiven, to extend grace, to extend mercy? God, and I pray for the person that they're asking forgiveness from. Would you soften their heart? There's others of you right now that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that Jesus wants to meet you at the charcoal fire and serve you grace for the very first time. And if that's you, there's nothing special about this prayer, but I'm just going to pray this and you can pray to him. And this is just you confessing your sin and asking God to come into your life, to surrender your life to Jesus. It's not by what you do. It's by the grace of Jesus through faith in him. So if that's you, you can repeat this after me. Father, I love you. And I admit that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. That I no longer want my past to control my future. That I surrender my life and make you the Lord, make you the Savior of my life. Because I believe that you died on the cross for me, and 3 days later defeated sin so that now I can live. And if that's you, would you just slip your hand up right now? And if you accepted Jesus for the first time today, and we just want to celebrate with you. I'm not going to make you come down front or call you out or anything, but if that's you, I just love for you now to simply just raise your hand and say, I surrender my life to him. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for the word, for the seed that's planted today. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you that because of you, we can live. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the greater Cadiz, Kentucky or Winchester, Tennessee areas, we'd love to have you join us at one of our weekend gatherings. For directions, service times, and information about our amazing children's and students' opportunities, visit us at onechurchcadiz.com. That's onechurchcadiz.com.